podcast on ESPNCoastal.com.
Good to have you along here on Three and Out all across the Southern Pigskin Radio Network. We are streaming live at ESPNCoastal.com, also live streaming on Facebook and Twitter as well. Kevin and Ben, BJ out today. He'll be back with us tomorrow here on the show. But the ACC put out their college football schedule today. Joining us here from the ACC Network, football analyst and former Georgia Tech running back, Roddy Jones, joins us here on Three and Out. Roddy, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And obviously the ACC not starting until September 12th, so that's odd. Just eyeballing it from afar, are you surprised that, given a lot of the other conferences who went conference only, said, hey, that's to protect maybe other leagues from having to come in and potentially outbreaks happening cross-conference, that the ACC didn't put a uniform non-conference week on the schedule and that it's just kind of sprinkled throughout each team's individual schedule here?
No, I'm not. I'm not surprised that the ACC went that way. What that non-conference game does for you is it's going to allow you a little more flexibility in the schedule. I would imagine that, you know, if a team has a game early on that's canceled, they've filled up their bye weeks, let's say, and they need to get out of the non-conference game, that would be an easier pill to swallow than basically not playing that conference game. The other thing is that the ACC, I think, did everything it could to keep those in-state rivalries going on between the SEC and the ACC. And the unfortunate thing is that they weren't able to do it. I don't blame the SEC for doing what they did. Their ADs decided to do what was best for that league. But it doesn't surprise me that the ACC went this way. I think they felt comfortable enough for these schools to be able to make the determination on who they were going to play.
And Roddy, obviously Notre Dame is, you know, they roll to the beat of their own drum when you talk about football, but because of this pandemic-stricken season, how I guess, easier of a decision was it to make to go ahead and say, look, we're in the ACC in every other sport. Why not just take on this ACC schedule, especially when you talk about trying to be able to get a schedule put together, you know, in a certain circumstance like it is this year?
I think it was really easy. I think it was an easy decision for both sides. Notre Dame needed the assurances that they were going to be able to put together a schedule, and the easiest way to do that was to team up with the ACC. And the ACC was going to take care of Notre Dame. Like you said, Notre Dame is a full member of the ACC in every sport with the exception of football. And the reason that they're not a member in football, one is because of prestige, but two is because of money. Their agreement with NBC brings in about $15 million a year, and that is going to be split up amongst the other ACC schools. So it's not going to be a windfall for every ACC school, but every little bit helps when you're in a pandemic and your attendance numbers are going to be restricted based on whatever state you're in, or maybe nothing. Maybe you won't have anybody in the stands all season. So I think it was easy on both sides. I think it was a slam dunk. It's a win for the ACC because they get one of the premier brands, maybe the premier brand in terms of college football in the entire country. And Notre Dame gets the security of being able to fill out a schedule and be able to play a season.
Roddy Jones joining us here on Three and Out. Obviously, the ACC, everybody adjusting here. They go to a 10-game conference schedule, no divisions. Obviously, people say sometimes great trials come some innovation. Do you believe the ACC might look at this if it comes to it and say, can we play divisionless football in the future?
I hope so. I mean, you know, the fact that some of these schools never see each other is I think, one of the great tragedies of college football right now. I was told yesterday that this is Louisville's first time playing Virginia Tech, and Virginia Tech is either the closest or the second closest regular ACC member to Louisville. Like it's Louisville's closest to Pitt and Virginia Tech if you take Notre Dame out of the mix, and they haven't played each other. That doesn't make any sense. So I hope they eliminate these divisions. If for nothing else, you get some more of those regional rivalries going, because the only way you get those, the only way you could get a Louisville-Virginia Tech rivalry or a Louisville-Pitt rivalry because of proximity is if they play regularly. And then the other side is from a student-athlete perspective, I would be highly upset if I came to this league at this time and I went to a Coastal Division school and I didn't get a chance to play Clemson. Like, that is one of the reasons you come to this league. You come to play the top competition, and if you missed Clemson over the course of your 4 or 5 years because of the wacky divisions and you see them once every 7 years, I would be really upset by that. When I was at Georgia Tech, I played against every single school in the ACC with the exception of Maryland, and we played Maryland my redshirt year, the year I did not play, and we played them the year after. So I only missed one, and I got to go to every single place in the ACC at the time because the divisions were smaller and the rotations were better. So now I think you have to adjust that so that student-athletes get that type of experience, the experience of playing Miami twice or at least once, of playing Clemson, of playing Florida State, of going to Boston, of playing Syracuse. I think that is part of the experience that you are hoping to deliver to all student-athletes in the conference.
And Roddy, outside of Clemson, because, I mean, I think they're going to benefit no matter what type of schedule they play. What school this year got a chance to have a better season because it is an ACC-only schedule?
That's a hard question to answer because I think the nature of going conference only makes it harder for everybody. Because, you know, the ACC only plays 8 conference games, and so does the SEC, and they're both going to 10 this year. So there are more opportunities to slip up. The competition level is higher. That being said, I think you look at Notre Dame as a team that obviously has a good chance. I think they could have had a much worse draw when it comes to the schedule. Like, their schedule is fairly friendly. You look at UNC. I think UNC is going to be really good, although they kind of have a weird stretch where their first bye week is the third week of the season and their last bye week is basically the end of November. That's a little weird, but I think UNC's got a real shot. I look at a team like Miami, who has a fairly, again, a schedule that is fairly friendly in that they don't have to play Notre Dame and Clemson, but the fact that that Greg Rousseau is no longer going to play is an issue that they're going to have to solve.
I was going to say that since you brought up Miami, Roddy, speak to that. Greg Rousseau, ACC Defensive Rookie of the Year, 15.5 sacks. Just this afternoon told Manny Diaz he's not going to play. Do we see more of that? Do we see it just from guys who think there's NFL in their future? How do you see this playing out with, a little bit more than a month before the ACC gets started?
I don't think that's the last one we see. I mean, we've seen it across the country. You look at the decision of Caleb Farley at Virginia Tech. You look at Rashad Bateman at Minnesota, Micah Parsons at Penn State. I think it's going to continue. We're going to continue to see these top guys opt out. And it certainly affects Miami. I mean, you don't replace a guy that had 15.5 sacks last year. There's no way to do it, a surefire first-round pick. So I definitely think it hurts the Hurricanes.
Roddy, when you look at the landscape in college football and just how big, you know, these young men's platform has gotten and the fact that they understand. I mean, you look at, you know, Kylin Hill and what he was able to do for the state of Mississippi. You look at the fact that, you know, these young men are saying, look, you look at what Marvin Wilson was able to do, calling out his coach, you know, at Florida State. And just, you know, Greg Rousseau, he decided I'm not going to play. You know, have we seen the end of, you know, the old way of doing things when you talk about college football? Because these young men understand that not only are we opting out if we see, you know, obviously an NFL future, but we calling out coaches and making sure that our agendas are at the forefront these days.
Yeah, I think that there's been a movement during this college football offseason that is not going to be reversed. I mean, guys have found their voice and found the power of their voice. And we are in a social time where instead of being soloed out, the guys who speak out, instead of being soloed out and really told to get back in line and you know, basically shut up and play, they are largely embraced and their words are being heeded. So this is a movement of player empowerment. You look at what's going on in the Pac-12, and they are starting to exercise their power. You look at what's going on in the off season with guys speaking out on things that they have seen within their programs that they want to see changed, on their campuses that they want to see changed. This is a time where college athletes, because of their status, because of social media, because of the money they bring in, because of the value that they have, college athletes have finally realized what they can do if they just put their voice to it. So, it's not going to stop. That is something that's certainly going to continue, and I hope it does continue, because what it makes everyone else have is the accountability to these college athletes that they deserve. They are going to continue to fight until their value is recognized by these universities, by these colleges, and by college football as a whole. So to treat these guys as if they are out of place when this happens, I think is an old and antiquated way of thinking, instead of listening to the way that they're holding these coaches and these administrators, and honestly, like, just overall holding the society accountable. Like, these guys would not be opting out if we as a society had handled this pandemic better.
Roddy Jones, ACC Network, joining us here on 3 and Out. And Roddy, obviously you have some colleges looking to start students back on campus here in the next little bit, and a lot of people are saying, is that maybe the bigger reason we have a wait-and-see attitude with college football to see how that happens once you introduce more students to these schools? Right now, as someone who's in and around college athletics with the ACC Network, how do you see college football pulling this off? Or is it going to be one of those where maybe we're trying as hard as we can and we may not?
As I was told the other day, everything's still on the table. I don't know. I don't know how college football pulls it off. You look at the struggles that Major League Baseball is having right now with the outbreaks on the Marlins and on the Cardinals. Like, I don't know. I don't know how college football does it. I think we're all going to have to be flexible and anticipate a college football season that is unlike any that we have had in the past, and enjoy every game, because you never know the factors that may cause this thing to be shut down early or severely limited or changed. You never know when those factors could pop up. So I don't know. I honestly don't. I don't have a magic formula for it. I just think that, you know, college programs are going to have to do the best they can with their guys trying to limit the spread of this thing and keep everybody safe. And that's a really hard thing to do.
And Roddy, finally, you look at what we've been talking about with all the scheduling, and as you said, you don't know what's going to happen. Has this shown a light also on the fact that the NCAA, I mean, what are they doing? You have five power conferences all essentially doing five different things. The G5 conferences coming up with their own plans of doing it. I mean, is college football really getting a light shown upon it in that it really is 9-10 conferences just doing their own thing here?
Yeah, I think there is a leadership vacuum. You know, it would be great to have some sort of directive from the top to be able to say what testing is going to be like, what the requirements are going to be to play. But we don't have that from the NCAA. But this decentralized approach is kind of the approach that we've taken as an entire country. I mean, the individual states are making their decisions, which complicates things for colleges because obviously they're beholden to what the individual states do. So it's not a surprise that college football has gone the same way that the country at large has gone. But I do think it shows, in college football in particular, it shows a vacuum of leadership, at least a vacuum of direction, because we haven't really heard anything from the NCAA.
Roddy Jones, ACC Network, our guest here on 3 and Out. Roddy, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you guys. Always enjoy it.
Roddy Jones, ACC Network, joining us. And Ben, obviously a lot to get to there with schedules and players opting out and how's it going to look moving forward. But football in earnest in the ACC set to begin on September the 12th.
Yeah, Roddy kind of hit it on the head. I mean, he said if we would have did a better job with this COVID-19, and I mean, that's kind of dictating every single thing. I mean, when you look at the fact, Kevin, five different conferences, I mean, operating, you know, five different ways, people saying, where's Mark Emmert? Well, where is he? I mean, he doesn't control any of what these conferences choose to do. Notre Dame is obviously going to dictate a lot this year in the ACC. Greg Rousseau telling Manny Diaz he did not like that conversation today. He was like, I'm opting out. But you can't blame these players. They're looking around saying, I came to the University of Miami or Virginia Tech or the University of Minnesota to go to the NFL. And because I got a pandemic-stricken season, and I don't know even if we're going to finish the season, when we're going to start the season, you can't blame these young men. But, Kevin, what else is new, man? 2020 is crazy. I mean, I'm learning to not – listen, outside of surprise party, nothing can surprise me, you know, when it comes to this year, because we just don't know. So I'm rooting for every last conference, every last team. But at the same time, too, I don't go to Vegas because do not bet on Benjamin when it comes to your money. You will be struggling, but I'm rooting for these young men.
Yeah, we've got more to come here on 3 and Out on this Thursday all across the Southern Pigskin Radio Network.
ESPNCoastal.com, the 3 and Out podcast with BJ, Ben, and Kevin.
Am I on the air?
All the music on today's podcast is produced by Curriculum Global. If you want to check out more of their music, follow them on Instagram. That's Q-U-R-R-I-C-U-L-U-M Global on Instagram. Curriculum is a record label based out of Atlanta that supports and funds students to help them pursue a career in music. We're really excited to partner up with them on this project. Now back to the show. You ever wonder why he made you? You ever wonder why he gave you? To the parents that he did they even want a kid? Tell me why you think he chose them to raise you. Because we just products of our environment. If a child grows up around violence, is he to blame when he just...
Good to have you here on 3 and Out all across the Southern Pigskin Radio Network, Hour 2. Here, Kevin Thomas, Ben Troop. Thanks for making us a part of your day. We'll look at University of Georgia coming up in just a little bit and see, hey, if you were Georgia awaiting the schedule, would you rather play Bama now or later? We'll debate that coming up in just a little bit. But it is 4 o'clock. Let us take 3 here on 3 and Out. Ben, obviously we've gotten some schedules out. And Christian will come in here and tell me why I'm wrong and asking the questions and all of that. But
You need two people to answer.
Well, I can answer.
But I'm answering. I'm here now.
You're in charge of the stadium experience for your school. You've just been informed that there are no fans for the season. What changes are you implementing if there's nobody there?
Well, I mean, the fact that last night, and we'll get to this later with the Lakers, I saw Lil Wayne virtually high-five another person who virtually high-fived him. It was the craziest thing I ever seen. So virtual fans has to be there. And fan interaction is important. So I would have a trolling section. A lot of these people on social media like to troll. But this is the only catch. You have to give your real name and your real location. Because I get sick of y'all hiding behind these. I had a guy tell me, well, you know, Ben, I don't sit behind a computer screen and just press send at you. That's exactly
Kevin,
what
did
doing.
Ben just take this question and turn it into him?
That's right.
Yelling
that's
at
right.
Trolls?
That's right. Okay. That's right. So what I'm going to do is
twisting his answers like a politician.
The virtual fan experience, and we got the trolling session. To where you get to go back and forth with the opposing fan base during the game, and y'all got to watch it on a screen together. I like that.
I think now that Ben said this, because I was going to say, well, if no fans are there, in terms of in-stadium, not too much you have to change. I would definitely, if I'm, you know, Georgia or Florida or something, I'm definitely pumping crowd noise in. But now that you said that, like, I don't even care about virtual fans. I think most colleges probably don't have the wherewithal to do that, where the NBA is like, hey, we have 3 gyms, we can do it. I would do, because we've seen these at media days, put like some large screens behind the opposing bench. Like when I say large, like huge, and have it be like the tweet deck of trolls and haters. So it's like, hey, we're playing Notre Dame this week. Florida State fans, send us your tweets about how much you don't like Notre Dame and put it up right behind the bench while they're playing. Let the players.
You could theoretically do that on the scoreboard, but you know.
Yeah, but
also,
no. But it's right behind the bench. They can't not look at it. It's
I want
right
to jump
there.
Back to what Ben just did, because that was like politically savvy right there. He's like, the question you just asked me, I'm just going to completely ignore that. And here's my point on trolls. But no, you got to think, because it's for the majority of colleges around the country, probably not going to be able to fans there. And the budgets are different, right? Everybody's down. So, Kevin, I don't know if we can go out and splurge on a bunch of flat screen TVs just to put trolls.
Well, they got them anyway.
Just to put troll tweets across.
They already have them.
Just to put troll tweets across. So I think the affordable thing to do is what you're seeing a lot of baseball teams do, right? With the cardboard printouts. But I'm not talking what the Braves are doing, where there's like 200 of them behind home plate, every single chair.
Okay, and here's my question.
So Paulson Stadium, 24,000.
But that sounds like a good idea, except I always like think it a step further. That's cool. You have 80,000 cardboard cutouts. Who's cleaning that up?
You leave them there all season.
At some point, you got to take them down.
At the end,
what
yeah.
if it rains and like? What if it rains gotta, and like the top deck fans get soggy and start?
That's fine.
Like,
you got to clean up after every game anyway. It's fine. No, I want every single one. I don't care what you're doing. Again, this is me in charge of the stadium.
And virtual popcorn on the grounds. So I'm taking that up.
But you have to have the virtual crowd noise. If EA Sports College Football 2002 can have crowd noise in it, we can figure out a way to get crowd noise into the stadium. But beyond that, Ben, the thing we're not thinking about here is the band. If the band's not going to be able to be in the stadium, what I'm thinking is you have them in remote locations and you do what we're doing here and you Zoom call them together.
Well, can't you pipe that into the stadium as
right,
well?
Right, but it can't just be like a recorded track is what I'm saying. Because why do the football players get to play if the band members don't get to play their instruments?
Well, bring them in.
You can't bring them in because they're too close together. Separate them.
I didn't think about this too. Like TV timeouts and stuff, ain't nothing going on. Let's go to the opposing fan base. Matter of fact, let's go to your fan base because we always seem to think that your fan base is complimentary of you. That's not true either. I'm like, listen, you start hearing, you suck, you stink. Oh, that's our fans. Like, it's rough about that. So it's all about the fan experience.
Get the band members in there.
You could spread them. If nobody's there, you could spread them out over the course of the whole bottom little half end zone of the thing, right? And
have the band members in there, but they can't be next to each other.
No, that's more than doable with nobody there.
That's what I'm saying.
All right,
they can get them in there with the cardboard cutouts. Band kids are always ready, Cody.
You show up with your mouthpiece ready to go. As a former band kid, I take exception to that. Anyways, take two. How much will the impact of a freshman be limited here in 2020?
It's going to be huge. I think what happens is, I mean, Kevin, something we talked about before the show, I think too often the times we've let guys like Trevor Lawrence or Jake Fromm or Travis Etienne make us think that is the barometer. No, that is the exception. Most freshmen, and I'm speaking from experience, need time to develop. And it's going to hurt them this year because, you know, a lot of those guys got 4 and 5 stars next to their name. A lot of those guys came in to compete for a starting role, but this is a different animal. And they're gonna look more like freshmen this year. Surprise, surprise. You're not gonna have a lot of, you know, guys out there really dominating, you know, because they just got there, and it's the speed of the game is just different. The terminology of the game is just different. Finding that level of comfort out there on the field is just different. And I'm kind of happy at the fact that the kind of pressure goes down a little bit because I wasn't a 5-star. I'm not hating on the 5-stars, but I can only imagine, you know, you a top 5 recruiting class, 5-star recruit, you want to come in to play right away, and you look like a freshman. Well, coach, I'm 18. I don't care. I want you to go out there and ball. Because Trevor Lawrence, look at what he's done, okay? Trevor Lawrence always going to be the number one pick in the draft, a.k.a. he's going to the Jags. But I just think that they'll get to go out there and actually be freshmen, have their bumps and bruises without this unrealistic expectation of being the next, you know, whomever, because they're trying to replace a legend. So I say it's going to hurt them, but it's also going to be a blessing because they get to go out there and kind of go through the bumps and bruises, the learning curve that is of a freshman.
Kevin, don't let Ben come in here and say, oh, I was an underranked recruit. Weren't you like AJC Super 11?
Listen, man, I lived in Augusta. I don't know what was going on up there in Atlanta.
Yeah,
man.
Okay. Okay, yeah, Ben, I'm underrated chip on my shoulder coming in as a freshman. No, I'm kind of with Ben, Kevin, right? You're not going to see the immediate, like, game one starter like a Bo Nix last year, right, for Auburn. But I think you just kind of push it back a few weeks. I think with Georgia last year, if this was 2020, George Pickens, 3 or 4 games into the season, would still be pushing for playing time because it's a position of need, and he's a superstar recruit. Now, some of the other spots where you're competing and it's 50-50 between a freshman and a sophomore, probably going to end up going with a sophomore in that one, but 2-3 weeks in the season, I still think you're going to see some of these elite freshmen start pushing for the playing time.
I don't know about. I mean, again, because as Ben was talking about this before, freshmen, obviously, there are few and far in between guys who can just show up and play day one. A lot of what they're doing is trying to get back out. You have virtual meetings, and I agree with that. There's only so much you can do in a virtual meeting and breaking down film that's not actually getting out and doing. I think a lot of You can tell me I'm wrong, Benny, but I feel like just with my experience around sports, a lot of experience comes from actually doing rather than watching somebody else do it and tell you how to do it. You know, to me, there's something to be gained from how do you learn the speed of the college game? Well, it's not by watching it on film, and then you get out there and go, oh, man, these dudes from Auburn are pretty fast. Well, yeah. So I think there will be a little bit steeper of a learning curve for freshmen. And, again, I think sometimes, like Ben said, we have this idea that because we see it in a lot of places that, you know, 15 freshmen are walking in and getting snaps every year at colleges. That just doesn't happen, period. So now where some early enrollees didn't even get spring practice, you're going to probably get limited situational things of what you can do in fall camp. I just don't think the opportunities will be there if you have a guy who's been in the program for a little while.
Again, I think if you're a freshman and you're going to be pushing for playing time anyway, you're just pushing back the time frame. Once you get in to the season, you play a few games. The one thing that you won't have, Kevin, is like the scheduled tune-up game to where you can get these guys two quarters of like back-to-back-to-back series where they really get the in-game experience. But that being said, once you get through practice and these guys go through a fall camp, get through 3 or 4 weeks of full practice, full games, you'll see those freshmen who are pushing and we're going to push anyway, you'll start seeing them play more and more.
Moving along, take three. Now that Georgia Southern's home opener against Boise State has been canceled, what team would you like to see the Eagles try to schedule?
Ooh, man. This is where reputation is going to come in a lot. And once again, I mean, you talk about a team in Georgia Southern where it's just hard to prepare for the triple. And trying to be able to add them on your schedule, well, they can beat you. I mean, so I think, you know, Kevin, something we talked about, Georgia Southern, they're going to probably have to go Conference USA, Midwest Conference and things of that nature. And hopefully, and I know this is crazy, hopefully, you know, it'll be beneficial to those guys, you know, both ways, because I just think what happens is plus four, man.
Yeah.
With a team that, excuse me.
You all right?
I can just see Chris's face. No, with a team that you got the COVID-19, right? How that injury list is going to be rough after you play Georgia Southern. Like, guys don't know how to prepare for getting chopped block anymore. They just don't know how to do it. So I think because of reputation, because when you look at the best team in the Sun Belt Conference, they beat them the last 2 years at their place and at home a couple of years ago on Thursday night. I just think their reputation is going to be hard, Kevin and Chris. It's not the fact that people don't want to play them. Sure. And they might come in here and beat us.
No,
so
I mean, well, that,
so do we get an answer?
So pick a team. Who do you want to see?
That's a lot. Again, Ben, the politician today.
He is.
No. I'm just saying a team that
Don't steal my answer. No, I'll give you my answer.
Go ahead.
Because we talked about this earlier, and I said maybe a team like South Florida, Central Florida, if you could do it, because I know the easy answer would be like, hey, go out. Well, the ACC schedule is out. Can't get one of them. The Big 12 schedule or the Big 10 schedule is out. They're not Pac-12. While you have some ideal situations, you can't get these schools because they're just not going to do it. And the ACC plus one, obviously, everybody but Clemson. So I guess maybe you could say Clemson, but I don't see how that gets put together quickly. So I'll say South Florida or Central Florida. It's close. East Coast, something that's probably doable on top of that, and I think would be good competition, good game for them. So if it's me, and I know Jared Binko, and I am wearing the Hail Southern shirt today on the show, he listens to what we say, quite frankly. So South Florida, Central Florida.
Yep.
Right? But I think those would be two decent options that might be actually doable for Georgia Southern here in the short term.
I'm with you on Central Florida for this fact. Georgia Southern, please schedule them. Go down there, beat the brakes off of them, so they will just shut up forever.
They're not giving the national championship back, Christian.
No. Like once Georgia Southern just goes down there, puts up a 50-burger on them with the triple option, just up and down the field on them, they can just shut up forever. That's the only reason
I want
to
schedule.
So
if you lose one game, you shut up forever?
You don't get the brakes beat off you? Yeah.
I mean, thank God that Florida can't schedule Georgia Southern.
They won't do it, though, because hashtag they scared.
I was going to say, so should Florida shut up forever because they lost? Okay.
What?
How's Florida done since 2013 there, Kevo?
They've All right. I mean, they're coming. They've had their down points, but Will Muschamp won 10 games, went to the Sugar Bowl.
2013, Kevin. How have they done? All right.
Depends on what your definition of that.
Back New Year's.
Now Cody's over here who hates bowl games over here talking about looking at bowl wins.
Just replay teams within your division. That's going to be your best bet. I don't because it's going to be hard at this point. Stay away from teams that y'all going to beat the hell out of Coach Lunsford. Y'all know what y'all want.
So did you want Central Florida? I said Central Florida, South Florida.
And Ben said no one.
Ben said no one.
But I beat Central Florida to shit them up. They got national championship banners. That's embarrassing.
But I did see this, Christian.
And we're sitting in here with a Florida/Central Florida fan, Cody Queen.
No, I'm saying, but you did see the ACC when they put their schedule out. Week two, Clemson has listed on the official ACC schedule non-conference opponent to be announced. So if Georgia Southern's willing to go to Clemson, could they be on that list? I don't know. But, I mean, I don't know that that's going to happen, so that's why I gave you my other answer.
I'm here for it.
I mean, they've already gone there once in the last couple of years. So I would say South Florida, Central Florida, and make it happen. Plus, you know, Conference USA needs more games. Clemson really just needs one game, and that's it.
Yep.
And you're good to go. We've got more to come. That's Take 3. It's 3 and Out all across the Southern Pigskin Radio Network. We're streaming live, ESPNCoastal.com.
This is your 3 and Out podcast on ESPN Coastal. ESPNCoastal.com.
Pain heals. Chicks dig scars. Glory lasts forever. I gotta be at least 80 and a 65. I got places to be, people to see. I'm rushing through life, but I got reason to be. This life don't wait for nobody, not even me. So I'ma keep going to heaven's king. Call me to leave. Yeah, it's the life.
Good to have you along here on 3 and Out all across the Southern Pigskin Radio Network. Streaming live, ESPNCoastal.com on your mobile device with the ESPN app. And so we await the SEC to put out their schedule, Ben, conference only. Obviously, Georgia, Alabama. Would you rather play the Tide early, Ben, or would you rather play them later in the season?
I'd rather see the Tide come in. I don't want to deal with Alabama. I'm going to be honest here for a second. When you hear things like, do I want to play Alabama early or do I want to play them late? Coaches say, bring them on, because coaches don't got to play. But if you got to deal with them boys from Tuscaloosa, you want to play them early to get it out of the way, Kevin, because the quicker you deal with it, one, you kind of see where you are as a team. You kind of see, how do we measure up? And I don't care who wins the SEC. When it's not Alabama, Alabama is still the barometer. They are the measuring stick. That is how you see where your team is, because they're going to test you on all levels. You got to play four quarters. You got to be able to adjust, and you got to be able to deal with getting punched in the mouth and punched back. But that being said, I want it early, because once you get rolling, you don't want to hit that buzzsaw known as Alabama, because it could derail the rest of your season. Injuries, morale, confidence. So I just think that if you're gonna have to deal with them, if they are unavoidable, let's go as quick as possible. But be careful with that early stuff. Y'all remember Jimbo Fisher, right? When he had DeAndre Francois and they played him, it's supposed to be the greatest opening of all time. How did that go? Oh, that's right. DeAndre Francois had to transfer. Never heard from him again. Jimbo Fisher threw his freaking Christmas tree on the front lawn. Didn't recruit any offensive linemen. So I'm just saying, if you got to deal with them, though, deal with them early, pray a lot, hope that Mac Jones ain't Mac Jones that day. Hope that, you know, Najee, you know what I'm saying, Harris don't want to come out there and play Dylan Moses. He don't want to play because it's going to get rough, Kevin. People are always talking about, oh, Alabama lost two games last year. Okay. And they beat the brakes off of everybody else. So don't act like, you know, they can't come out there, you know, give you their best shot. So give me Alabama early. For $100, Alex.
I mean, to me, that is the no-brainer question, especially when you talk about what we just talked about in Take 3 with freshmen and their impact and maybe how some of these guys are dealing with their first shot at playing time with Alabama. Sometimes you hear guys say, look, I'm a five-star. I'm okay with sitting a couple of years because there's a five-star ahead of me, and then I jump in. I play my 1 year. I go to the league, but the fact remains you haven't played a whole lot of snaps. As well, give them to me in the first couple of weeks while they're still trying to figure out their personnel and how to adjust and how they're going to adjust to you, and they don't have as much tape on me. I would say give them to me early, because you get them late, unless it's that Iron Bowl, it doesn't seem like they do a whole lot of losing late too terribly often. So I would want to get him right out of the gate. I think that's anytime you're playing a really good team, to me, you'd rather get them early. Go ahead and let's see how we stack up against the best and move on and not have that dreaded game circle down the road where say, I hope we're this, I hope we're that, I hope we have enough healthy guys to play Alabama. No, give them to me now while we're healthy and let's get it out of the way and move forward and learn from it. And hopefully we get better and move on. Also, Ben, I think, you know, with the college football playoffs, I don't know how it's going to work, you know, this year with obviously no real crossover games too much. But, you know, when it comes to just losses and how you evaluate, and look, let me go ahead and take that if I have to. If I don't feel like I'm up to stuff, maybe I win. Most likely take that L early and then have something to build on, gain esteem down the stretch, and maybe look at you know, week 9 or 10 and say, look, this is a team that lost early and the last 8 weeks or so has really been playing great football, and you might be given a little bit of extra, you know, credit down the road for how well you're playing now versus way back at the beginning of the season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and make no mistake about it. To those right now, the listeners are thinking, well, my goodness, is there a chance you could beat Alabama? Yeah, you just need Johnny Manziel or Joe Burrow or, you know, you got to have Tim Tebow. But no, what I think what happens is too, Kevin, quality losses. It's not going to be a better quality loss in college football than Alabama. Because at the end of the day, they're going to be in contention. And they're going to be in the thick of things at the end. This is what people don't realize about last year with Alabama. They had two freshmen at linebacker. Dylan Moses and those guys got hurt. I mean, Tua had a horrendous injury that he's come back from. And they still only lost two games. Florida hasn't won 11 games in I don't know how long. So the schedule that people are frowned upon in Alabama is being celebrated in Gainesville. That just shows you the difference, you know, as far as like cultures and whatever. One is the creme de la creme. The other one is trying to make sure they stay in the national, you know, conversation. But, yeah, Kevin, it's Alabama. It's one of those, hey, coach, they ain't that good. Yeah, okay. All right. And then you get out there on the field. They real good. So, yeah, Kevin, a quality loss. Or who knows? You catch them early at the right time for which they still trying to figure out their rhythm, how they're going to really use Mac Jones. Are they really going to get back to the ground and pound, opening up for the passing game? You might make it an ugly four quarters, kind of rattle Mac Jones a little bit. Dare I say you might get a dub on that resume. And who's a better resume filler than a W against them Alabama boys. So, but you still rather get them early because I got the rest of my season to look forward to. Ain't nobody trying to say we got Alabama week 9. That's nonsense. I ain't nobody trying to deal with that.
Yeah. Why don't you give them to me the week before the SEC championship game or the week? Yeah, that's fine. I'm good. No, give them to me early. Let's move on. We've got more to come here on 3-and-Out, including, and I'll see what Christian really wants Ben to kind of get into here with the motivational speaking circuit. Does he need to go talk to LeBron and the Lakers in the bubble? We'll try to see if we can make that happen when we come back. It's 3-and-Out on the Southern Pigskin Radio Network.
3-and-Out.
3-and-Out
on ESPNCoastal.com.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Falling apart because I miss you. I miss you. Baby, I miss you.
Good to have you along here on 3-and-Out all across the Southern Pigskin Radio Network. We are streaming live, ESPNCoastal.com on your mobile device with the ESPN app. Again, you can catch the podcasted version of the show, ESPNCoastal.com or Apple Podcasts. And if you missed any portion, check it out there as well. Ben, Braves tonight coming up. It's going to be, well, Kyle Wright trying to win one here. Tukey Toussaint. I apologize. Tukey Toussaint against Nate Pearson as the Braves try to win the series. But more importantly, there is a Nick Markakis sighting in the lineup tonight, and he is back out there in the outfield for the Atlanta Braves. So kind of interesting to see, and been kind of an interesting dynamic of it. I guess there's more of you guys you don't hear about him, but when you read the Nick Markakis kind of story here of 2020, he said, look, I opted out. I wasn't comfortable. He goes, and then I'm sitting at home, and I'm watching my team play, and I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm sitting here saying, well, if they can do it, why am I not there doing it with them as a teammate? So I felt like I should come back. And I had a change of heart, and I saw I was like, You don't hear a lot of folks saying that. Usually it's like, hey, I don't feel comfortable, I'm out. He was like, I looked at my team and I said, I should be out there. And it ate him up, and he's back. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of lift he gives to the team tonight just being back out there.
Yeah, the thing about Nick Markakis is, and the thing is, listen, give a lot of respect to the Atlanta Braves organization. They didn't press him. They respected his decision. They understood that whatever reason you chose to opt out this 2020 season, that's your decision, and we respect it. But you also got to give even more credit to this Braves team, Braves organization, Snicker and those guys saying, hey, man, we'll welcome you back. We didn't want you to leave. We ain't gonna like press you to stay, but we didn't want you to leave. And let's face it, Kevin, Nick Markakis, he's the type of guy to where he brings that veteran presence to the ball club. He has that Freddie Freeman hard hat type mentality. He's a guy that wants to be in the lineup every night, but he accepts his role. And this is what that Braves team needs. The Braves need stability. And stability can come in a lot of ways. They need stability on the mound. They need stability, with their bats. But they always need stability in that veteran leadership. That's what Nick Markakis provides. And you mentioned Tuka Toussaint's going to be on the mound tonight. I remember when we had, Doc Herbert on from Talking Chop. He said Tuka Toussaint has a chance to be a star. He has a chance to be a star. Beautiful curveball. The thing about, listen, whenever I always live with the mantra of when you're good at something, you tell people. When you're great at something, they tell you. This is coming from Doc Herbert from Talking Chop. But we got to see it. Stars, to me, accept the fact that it's supposed to be hard. Want that pressure-packed situation, and they rise to the occasion. And to me, when I see Tukey, I think he has star power, Kevin. I think he has a nice presence on the mound. Doesn't seem to get, too shaken by anything. But if there was ever a time for him to come out of his shell, because everybody's watching, when you got Max Fried, those guys, and you mentioned Kyle Wright and those guys watching, show them I'm ready. I mean, Sean Newcomb pitched all right last night. I mean, he didn't look bad. Excuse me. But who's gonna be that number two? I mean, because when Mike Soroka went down, Kevin, it was obviously hard to watch. But the significance of what he meant to the team. Are the Braves still going to the playoffs? Yes. Do the Braves still have a lot in front of them? Yes. But it's still going to come down to pitching. And I think that when you look at the fact that Tukey has a chance to go out there and make a statement tonight. No, he don't got to pitch a no-hitter. We would like that, though. I mean, if you want to do that, I mean, I'm not going to be mad at him or anything. But when you got arguably the best bullpen in baseball, and they looking at you saying, come on, Tukey, man, get us the six. What? Get us the six. Get us the six with a chance. Because I don't know if the Braves drank that little concoction that Michael Jordan gave Bugs Bunny them on Space Jam. I don't know what happens after the eighth inning. I really, really don't. And I'll take it, but I think that when your pitcher is pitching lights out, it gives your bats a chance to kind of come around too. They don't have to, because people be saying the Braves, man, either they score 10 runs or they score one. Well, it's the majors, man. You got some pitchers that are really, really good. You're not going to have blowouts every night. But I think tonight could be a statement game for Tukey, Kevin, only because I think it does a lot in this starting rotation, because you know what you got with Max Fried. Sean Newcomb has his stuff. Kyle Wright, is still like a work in progress. Tukey can make a huge statement tonight because Foggy's not coming back. Soroka, man, we wish him nothing. I mean, to tear your freaking Achilles the day before your birthday, God. Yeah. Life is not fair, people. My goodness.
Well, Ben,
we can make a statement tonight.
Yeah, and again, the bullpen's getting better tonight. I think just read where Will Smith was activated off the injured list, so he'll be back with the club tonight. So you've got your closer back to go along with like three or four other guys who could close. Get even deeper there. But to me, this is in a short season. The Braves obviously can't go out and just sign three or four guys to fill your rotation. You've talked about this a lot on the show, and I agree. Now it's the prove it time. If you're Tukey Toussaint, you've been up with the big club in the bullpen. Maybe a fifth start guy here, there. We'll give you a couple innings, and then you get sent back down. And then you come up, and then you get sent back down to AAA. Well, now there isn't that. You're going to be here to let it work out. And to me, this is the opportunity. If you're an athlete, if you're a competitor, you say, look, we are handing it to you, and you can either take it and run with it, or it's going to fall apart and we'll have to go another direction. But I see that with a number of these young guys, Touki Toussaint being the guy that's on the hill tonight. It's okay. We're not expecting Cy Young stuff for you as a young guy, but go out there and take this spot. If you take this spot, we don't have to take it from you. You know, and move on and try to find another option. And you got to the majors for a reason. You have a lot of promising stuff. Go out there and pitch the way you know you can. And I'm not trying to pretend that it's just an easy thing to do. But to me, if you're Touki Toussaint, Kyle Wright, whoever's going to get an opportunity as the fifth starter at some point, go take it. Go seize it. Because obviously the Braves are in a situation where they're looking for three guys to step up in a big way in that starting rotation. And if you can do that and become somebody that they can count on every fifth day, well, you're not going anywhere at this point. But it's up to Touki Toussaint and Kyle Wright to say, I can do more than give you two innings, and then I kind of have to readjust, and I'm not able to do that. And you hear that all the time from the analytics guys. Hey, it gets harder to get outs the second time through the lineup, the third time through the lineup. You got to do more than get me nine batters, and then you can't adjust. So I think for Touki Toussaint, this is a stand up and take it kind of moment. You want that spot in the rotation, go take it, and it will be yours. But as you said, the Braves are looking for guys to really step up and own it in the starting rotation right now.
Well, at the end of the day, Kevin, I mean, it sounds like what you're saying is this is what being a starter in baseball is. I mean, people talk about, hey, man, how can Clayton Kershaw be as good as he is? And Scherzer and those guys. Every inning is reinvention. You got to reinvent. They know what you're going to do. Can you do it better this inning? They know what your every pitcher has a best pitch. How bad is your worst pitch? Can your worst pitch become an asset? And the thing is, when you Touki, no, I'm not gonna feel sorry for a guy that made it to the big leagues. Most guys that love baseball were sitting out there throwing with their dad, throwing with their uncle one day in hopes of being out there. You out there, Touki? And the thing about it is you said it, Kevin. This is about dependability. You know what you got in Max Fried, and that's it. I mean, Kyle Wright, he got the stuff. Newcomb got the stuff. Touki got the stuff. But is it consistent? Can you be consistent with the stuff? Because name me a team in baseball that feel comfortable sending a starter out there for two innings. That is not a winning recipe. I don't care who you are. And I understand this too. Just like, you know, if you were head coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers, there's a lot of you know, pressure that comes with that because it's only been three. I know the ghost of Glavine and Smokes. I get that. But you still can take the check. I want to be able to sit down. Kobe Bryant said, I wouldn't sit down and have a conversation with Magic Johnson until I won my fifth championship because I didn't feel worthy. I don't want to see Tom Glavine in a restaurant. He goes, what's your name again? Touki. Touki Toussaint. You play for the Braves. No, I want him to know me. And I just think that Kevin, you know, it's all mental, man. Nothing more mental than a freaking pitcher in baseball. But Look at the bullpen you got. You know,
I guess put me in that mindset of an athlete who, obviously, baseball, you don't just go and show up in the big leagues, right? I mean, you have to go high school. You have to go, if you don't go to college, you still have to work your way through the minor leagues. Just walk through that mindset of knowing, especially in baseball, like this is my shot, right? I mean, like, this is my time to step up and take it. And I guess. Judge that when you were with the Titans, the first time you walked out there and they said, Ben, you're starting. And who's the backup? Well, it's you. In your back of your mind, you know it's me, and this is my chance to step up and take it, or they'll find somebody else, right?
I think what separates pros when everybody else is, what everybody else uses as a means to pull them down, you use those same emotions to push you forward. Nervousness. Being unsure of yourself, pregame jitters, you use all that stuff because you got the physical tools or you wouldn't be here. It's almost like when we was talking to Ben Hartstock and he said, when you 6'5", 250 pounds, you got to prove you cannot play. When you 5'11", 180, you got to prove you can. I think in a situation like Touki and these pro athletes, I'm telling Touki, dude, this is it. There isn't too many opportunities to where everybody's watching you. Until you pitch, the ball will not. They can say play ball all day. And I just think that what happens is, Kevin, all it takes is one moment to propel you to other moments. In football, I had a bad play. I dropped my first pass. The confidence of my quarterback to say, I'm coming at you again. It's third down and six, which you know, is a lifetime in football. And I catch an 8-yard pass, and I get, you know, I kind of get hit a little bit. I'm showing my teammates that, hey, man, I'm going to bounce back. All pro sports is, how do you bounce back? If you had a great game, can you duplicate it? If you had a bad game, can we have a better game? And the thing about being a starting pitcher is, hey, man, you only as good as your current star. I don't care what you get in the previous game. Cool. What about right now? And I just think that Tukey has the stuff. And Kevin, you have to tell me this. There is nothing like being on the mound and everybody saying, hey, Tukey, man, give me that beautiful curve. Listen, the catcher knows it. The ump knows it. The freaking batter knows it. And you still throw it, strike three, and you pointing at your catcher saying, listen, I'm going to give you your best stuff, man. So I hope that Tukey takes advantage of it. He don't got to win the World Series tonight. But for Atlanta to go where they're trying to go, Tukey's going to have to be a big part of it, whether he knows it or not.
Certainly. And he's got Nate Pearson for the Blue Jays. Braves with a chance to take 2 out of 3, which, again, in a shortened series, people try to weigh down the importance of each game. It's still about winning series, still about going out there. And if you can take 2 out of 3, you're going to be in great shape to move on. So Braves try to wrap it up tonight. We'll see Nick Markakis for the first time. Could see Will Smith in the lineup for the first time tonight as well. Appreciate Roddy Jones, ACC Network, joining us on the show as the ACC released their schedule today, as they are still about a month away from the opening kickoff. We'll see you tomorrow, a Friday edition. We made it again, Ben, to the end of the week. We'll see you tomorrow. It's 3 and Out all across the Southern Pigskin Radio Network, streaming live, ESPNCoastal.com. If you missed any portion of the show, go there as well, or Apple Podcasts for the podcast version of 3 and Out.